before today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, I want to tell you about our new podcast series, Super Scoreboard, the old firm through the decades, in association with Indigo Unified Communications. Join me, Hugh Keevans, and a host of legends from both sides of the divide as we look at the history of the old firm Derby from the 1960s to the present day. In the latest episode, John Hartson, the Welsh Dragon, and Peter Lovenkrantz, the Danish Destroyer. To listen, download the Radio Clyde app or search Super Scoreboard, the old firm through the decades, on your usual podcast app.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic and Rangers lock horns in just over 18 hours' time in the first meeting of the new season. Neil Lennon wants answers on Ryan Christie's absence, while a late call will be made on Odson Edouard. Stephen Gerrard says his men go in confident, but not overconfident. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
The first Celtic Rangers game of this calendar year, would you believe? And after a 10-month wait, the atmosphere is frenzied, to say the least. If Celtic win, they go 2 points clear and with a game in hand. Temporarily bad news for Stephen Gerrard. If Rangers win, they go 4 points clear, meaning they'd still be top even if Celtic won their game in hand. Temporarily bad news for Neil Lennon, but all far too early to make judgments one way or the other. Only one sleep to go though. Shh. It'll be fine. There. Shh. Yeah.
Exactly. Listen, I'm still kind of like contemplating. I heard that Hugh Keevans was getting his toes sorted out today, and it's an image I can't get out of my head. But yeah, I mean, listen, you know, it's great that the game's come up, and you know, we're all looking forward to it. We understand, of course, the first type of Old Firm match ever in the history to be played in this way. But you know, both teams are, you know, in good form in terms of results, not always performances. There's been one or two little you know, performances have not been great. Celtic in particular getting a wee bit of criticism for some of their performances, but they've been managed to get the results. And again, at home, Neil Lennon will be expecting his team to pick up 3 points. Stephen Gerrard will be, as Hugh's just mentioned there, looking to try and extend the lead at the top.
292 days since the sides last met, Hugh Keevans. Is it true what they say? Does absence make the heart grow fonder?
I don't think fonder is the word you're looking for. Absence makes the heart grow very keen to give the other lot a going over in this part of the world. So the fans... Listen, Neil Lennon's had his say, Stephen Gerrard's had his say, the First Minister's had her say. I think it's all fallen on deaf ears. People will do whatever they want to do tomorrow, but they have to bear this in mind. If they get out of control, there won't be an Old Firm game in December then.
We'll save our lectures for later, Jim. Fans are getting that from everywhere. And by the way, we hope everyone does behave in an appropriate manner tomorrow, but that's maybe one for later on the pitch. How can you ignore the backdrop to this? The virus is everywhere, so much so that there are players unavailable because of it. There will be no one inside the stadium because of it. People can speculate about what difference that will or will not make. We don't really know until the game kicks off tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, from Celtic's point of view, it's just bad luck. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, there's two players, El Hamad and Beaton, picked up. And then obviously Ryan Christie picking up from being a close association or in close contact. So I think it's a difficult situation from Celtic just in terms of preparation. Obviously, Odds and Edwards still to be decided. I'm not quite sure if you know Gordon whether he's going to be available or not. But listen, these are all things that are going to be happening time and time again. I mean, Rangers could have had it with players. Obviously, Ryan Jack was in the Scotland squad. Morelos was away travelling the other side of the world. There's a lot of things that could have happened. It just so happened that the brunt of it this time around happens to be in the Celtic camp. But as I said, I think that will change. Sadly, you know, that there'll be many more cases. We've seen St Mirren again getting players, Hamilton missing players, the coaching staff all missing down at Queen of the South. So listen, it's happening right throughout football. Celtic have got a big squad. They've got a very, very talented squad. So I think they just have to focus on the players they have available.
And Hugh, it's a big weekend of football. The lower leagues finally return this weekend as well, kicking off tonight. The Spam Folder Derby, I think they call it now, between Hearts and Dundee. No love lost there either. Those sides go head to head at Tynecastle this evening. And then we'll be delighted, not as delighted as we would be if there were fans, but delighted to welcome back the Championship, League One and League Two tomorrow.
Well, Hearts would start off as everyone's idea of the favourites to win that league. Charlie Adam today, looking forward to his Dundee debut, the club he supported in boyhood, and he's saying he wants to be the best player in the league. So it's a great start. Scottish football, I think, will never quite get over what happened last March when it was decided to call the leagues, declare champions and declare who get relegated. The sores are still there, the scars are still there, and you'll see that at Tynecastle tonight. But listen, we have to get on because we're trying very hard to complete this season.
18 hours to go, get it all off your chest. Predictions, team lineup suggestions, fears, worries, hopes, optimism, whatever you want to get off your chest ahead of the fixture, this is the place to do it on a night like this. Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are waiting patiently on your call. 0141 951 1025. You don't need me to even suggest any questions for you to answer. So many thoughts swirling around ahead of this fixture. So get them in and let us know what you think on the phones and on Twitter. Let's give you just a flavour. Let's put you in the mood even more by hearing from both managers. Neil Lennon says Celtic will want answers if Ryan Christie misses tomorrow's game, but Kieran Tierney plays for Arsenal, because remember they were both told to sit out Scotland's triple header after being in close contact with Stuart Armstrong, who tested positive. Lennon says there can't be one rule for one and another rule for someone else.
Since he's the story broke about the three of them in the room, he's had two tests with us, all negative. So from our point of view, he is good to go. And we'd be very confused and we want answers. You know, if Kieran is allowed to play and Ryan has refused to play, it would be very, very confusing. I think our supporters would want to know the answers to that as well. So at the minute, it's still very much in the air. Peter and the board have been pushing this since day one. But we've had no clarification. If anything, we've just met with complete resistance so far. Our preparations have been without Ryan, you know, and it'd probably be folly to change that now, but we would like to have him available.
You can see the perceived contradiction, Hugh, because yeah, they were both in the same boat. They were both told to isolate by NHS Lothian at the time. The obvious difference, and you don't have to like it or accept it, but the obvious difference is Kieran Tierney's now gone back down to England, where they take a slightly different view on things. And Ryan Christie, like everyone up here, has to isolate for 14 days, and that's about it by the looks of it.
Well, first of all, we can take the SPFL out of this argument because it was not their decision. The SPFL have nothing to do with Ryan Christie not being able to play against Rangers tomorrow. It is NHS Lothian. Now, among the historical features of this game tomorrow, no fans, and for the first time ever, a local health board has decided who plays for Celtic against Rangers. If Celtic want to complain, and Neil is asking for clarity, the club would have to complain to the Scottish government about the NHS Lothian board and their procedures. I don't think they would do that, because eventually sensitivity is going to have to come into this. And remember that you may hotly dispute the decision taken by NHS Lothian Health Board, but they are attempting to safeguard lives at a time when this virus is back on the rampage.
I mean, Jim, you can see the frustration, because by the time the game kicks off, Ryan Christie may well be up to 3 negative tests since the isolation period began. So, I mean, he's fine, and in most people's eyes, he would be fine to play. But that's where we're at in the world at the moment. The rules are the rules, and you kind of have to.
Unfortunately, that's not what they go by. You know, they go by the fact is that he's got 14 days to self-isolate, having been a close contact of Stuart Armstrong. And in Scotland, that is the rule. In England, it might be slightly different. I don't know, but obviously it's two different health boards.
I think they take a slightly different view on it with regards to elite athletes.
Yeah, but again, as I said, it is in England, so it's a different health service and our governing body that makes that decision from the health department. So, listen, Neil, you can understand his frustration, but unfortunately, as I said, they won't then, just because it's elite football or because it's elite sport, change it round. So Celtic will have to do without Ryan Christie, and Arsenal may well have, and probably likely to have, Kieran Tierney. Yes, frustration, But unfortunately, Celtic will have to prepare for having the game. Listen, it's one player. He is an important player, but Celtic, he could have an injury. There's a lot of things Celtic have to plan without him.
Stephen Gerrard says his players believe they can upset the odds again at Celtic Park. They won that last meeting there in December, and he says they're determined to impress again.
It's going to be a tough game. As you say, it was the first time we managed to get a win there in a very long time, which basically lets everyone know how difficult the task is and has been for many years going to Celtic Park. They're a good team, they're a strong team, successful team, but we went there last year with a game plan and we performed extremely well, and the players went there with confidence, belief, and got the job done. And we're hoping the players can go and produce a similar type of performance.
Let's get stuck in then. 01419511025. What are you all thinking about ahead of tomorrow? Craig in Moodysburn will kick us off. Hi, Craig.
Hi, good evening, guys.
How's it going?
I was actually disappointed I didn't get on to speak to Andy Halliday on Wednesday night, but there we go. I'm very excited, but I was saying to your producer there, I'm trying not to get too excited because, you know, overconfidence is probably the worst thing, and then, you know, the result doesn't go your way and then everything's 10 times worse. But as I was saying, I think with Gerrard having the monkey off his back now, should have won the League Cup final, but managed to go to Parkhead and win very convincingly, despite a 2-1 scoreline. You know, he's beaten them a couple of times at Ibrox. I think it's all about the kind of midfield. I think he will go with his favoured three of Jack, Kamara and Davis, with probably Arfield in the kind of right-hand side behind Morelos, which it would be fine, because I think we've dominated the midfield in the last few games, three or four games actually. But I would actually prefer to see if, you know, I mean, Celtic's left-back situation is one of their weak areas. They've got a new signing potentially playing tomorrow. I would actually prefer Jordan Jones to be playing, just, you know, pure pace. But obviously trust Gerrard, which I think, given obviously his results in the fixture, he warrants that kind of trust. And I think my confidence is that this Rangers team really rise to the occasion in the big games. We'll see what happens, obviously, with the title race this season, because they seem to have a bit of consistency going, despite a couple of silly drop points. But big game, they always turn up in the big games. It was just to put that across.
Yeah. Like, with respect, Craig, you know, they don't always turn up in the big games, otherwise they'd have a trophy.
They should have had a trophy.
No. Cup finals are like that. You know, what happens in a cup final? No, come on. In cup finals, it is possible to be the dominant side and not win a cup final. That's what happens. And Rangers had their opportunity at 1-0 Celtic. They had a penalty kick, Rangers, and Celtic reduced to 10 men. Didn't take the chance.
Sorry, Hugh. Craig says this one's a big game. You've seen many of these. How big is this one? How would you sum up this one?
No, I'd sum it up as I started in the introduction to the programme, Gordon. I don't think you can get carried away, no matter who wins, whether it's Celtic. If Celtic win, they go 1 point ahead of Rangers with a game in hand. Very good result for Neil Lennon. If Rangers win, then they go 4 points ahead of Celtic, which negates Celtic's game in hand. However, for both of them, it's far too early to draw a line under it and say, right, they're the champions elect.
Jim, the great thing about the build-up to this fixture, Craig highlights it, is that debating and going round in your head about who's going to play, who's not going to play. Is there going to be a surprise? Is someone going to come in from out in the cold to make a surprise start? What do you make of Craig's suggestions? How do you think Rangers would line up?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, Craig's then saying he'd like to see Jordan Jones, but then who do you leave out? And this is the thing, Scott Arfield's probably been Rangers, you know, most consistent player
five,
in the last month. And before that, it was Ryan Kent. But certainly in the last three or four games, Scott Arfield's been immense. Do you want Ryan Jack in? Kamara's been playing well. Do you want Davis in? So somewhere along the line, you know, someone has to be left out. You know, we have this debate before. You can only play, and Rangers would like to play the 4-3-3. So I think, he might just leave Ryan Jack out, and Davis, Kamara and Arfield. And then, as I said, it leaves him scope to play, whether he wants to play a more adventurous side with, whether it's Hadji, Morelos and Kent, or whether he puts Arfield in the right and brings Jack in. But as I said, I think he'd be delighted. The first thing is that Barisic is fit and ready to play again, because that'd been a huge loss. But you know, again, what we said before, I think you know, we think Alan McGregor will go back in again. He has chopped and changed a little bit with John McLaughlin, but I think Alan McGregor's the man for the big occasion. So yeah, I mean, he's got one area. I think that's the only area, really, if you look at it. Does he play Arfield in the right, or does he keep Arfield in the midfield? That, to me, would be the only decision to make.
Craig, you've outlined your case for the confident side of things. What would, is there anything that worries you? Any niggle in the back of your mind?
I think, I've been speaking to a few people, my friends about this and stuff like that. I think possibly Celtic at set pieces. Like I say, I mean, Hugh's saying, oh, not get a trophy, but I mean, big games, I'm talking about the Old Firm games and the European games, Rangers really rise to the occasion. And as I say, dominated them in the cup final, dominated them at Parkhead for this midfield, interchanging midfield, because Kamara, I would actually like to see Kamara given a bit of a role. That's why I said with Davis and Ryan Jack, if you give Kamara that kind of role that he has with Finland to get forward a bit more, I think that's his natural game. But I would love to see Jordan Jones start tomorrow, just to, because if it's Taylor at left back, he can do him for pace. If it's a new guy at left back, it's his debut, and put him under pressure by Jordan Jones on that. He's a, not to say it's the last thing you want, because he's not the best player in the world, but we all know, you know, what pace does to defenders on their debut. So yeah, Celtic at set pieces, that's my only concern.
Well, it's going to be interesting, Craig. Hope you manage to enjoy it one way or another. Jerry's in co-winning. Jerry, Craig was very confident. Are you equally as confident?
I probably am, Gordon, to be fair. I mean, I had to laugh at Craig there, you know, hanging his hat on Jordan Jones. This is a guy who scored, what, one goal in a year or something. So that was quite funny. But actually, as well, Hugh has written off Celtic and so have many people in the media. And this week has just been unbearable with the nonsense stories. If it's not Charlie Adam casting aspersions on Neil Beaton or Chris Iyer, it's Enes Hadji's dad comparing his son to Zinedine Zidane. Now, if my mum compared me to Albert Einstein, the intelligence level, it wouldn't be in the paper. So thankfully, the media can watch the game tomorrow and not have to print these nonsense stories. I think the Celtic players are going to be determined to ram a few words down a few throats tomorrow, because they have been written off. And despite the fact, yeah, possibly they haven't played as well this season as they have done towards the end of last season, they're still, on a points-per-game basis, have more points than Rangers. So I think the Celtic players are determined to prove a wee point tomorrow and shut up a few critics. Don't mind me saying.
What is it that makes you confident then, Jerry? Is it that winning mentality? Is that what you're kind of basing it on?
The core of this squad, Gordon, remains that's won 11 trophies in a row. And the core of the Rangers squad is what's not won any trophies for the past 2 years. If Celtic lose tomorrow, I'll be disappointed. But it's not the end of the world. You know, we've shown that we can recover from Old Firm defeats and go on to win the league quite comfortably. If Rangers lose, it's a massive psychological blow, in my opinion, because I think they have shown the past 2 years they don't know how to recover from big defeats. And when the pressure's on, and they've admitted this themselves, James Tavernier, Ryan Kent, in interviews, they can't handle the pressure. So I think we could really land a major psychological blow in Rangers tomorrow.
Well, the great thing, the only predictable thing about the Celtic Rangers game is the unpredictability of the Celtic Rangers game. So it's fine for Jerry to come on and state his case. Likewise, Craig before him. You can say what you like at 21 minutes past 6 on the Friday night. It's what happens after 12:30 tomorrow.
Have you written Celtic off, or is it just an innocent match prediction, no, as requested probably by me?
Exactly. People are asked, who do you think will win the match? I've rarely been stopped in the street as much as I have been this week by people.
Hopefully at a safe distance.
And whenever they've asked me, what do you think? And I've told them, they've all gone away unhappy. So, you know, I always say, well, why did you ask me? You know, it's a part of the job. You get asked, who do you think will win?
So you do think Rangers will win the game?
I do.
Are you writing Celtic off completely? What sort of, if you were to put a percentage on it, what kind of balance would you give the fixture?
51-49.
He's just coming off the fence.
You know, Jerry gets very excited. All this stuff about Hadji's dad and whoever else, Charlie Adam. Newspapers have got columns used to fill, and that's the way they do it. But when people are asked for their prediction, you know, if Jerry gave me his prediction now, and he's wrong and Rangers win, will Jerry come back on and say, I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm talking about?
Jerry did make an interesting point about the psychology, Jim, because that's a huge part of it. We got there in the end. We made a bit of a mess of giving you the stat last night, but the actual stat is that in the last 15 seasons, so for all the seasons that they've both been in the top flight, Only four times has the team that won the first Old Firm game of the season not gone on to win. So 11 out of the last 15, you win the first Old Firm game, you go on to win the league. Yeah. There's room there for that to be.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a decent start, and if you want to look at it that way. But you know, again, listen, I don't think it's going to have a huge bearing. The bearing in the weight of pressure this year is for the numerical number of titles. So whether it's 10 for Celtic or whether Rangers can stop that, that's ultimately why this match has gathered more, if you want to call it, interest and more intrigue and more kind of, you know, discussion, as the guys have just spoke there in the press. So listen, in a normal season it's high enough. This season is intensified.
Jerry, great to hear from you. 01419511025. We are seriously late for the travel already. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. More than £1 million paid in compensation every week.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. We are counting down the minutes until kick-off at Celtic Park tomorrow. Everyone's suitably frenzied up by the look of Twitter. Hugh Keevans, you wouldn't have it any other way. MRRFK is on, says, enjoying the Rangers fans' confidence. I hope it's over confidence. Tomorrow's 50-50 due to Celtic potentially missing key players. Hoping Neil Lennon starts with two up front and we go for it. On the other side, Graham Robb says, Hadji hasn't faced Celtic since arriving. I'd go for pace against the Celtic defence. The right side of Duffy and Frimpong isn't the greatest, therefore that will be the main point of attack, says Graham on Twitter. We are on the phones as well.
There are no wrong opinions on Friday night. Absolutely none. Celtic or Rangers?
No, yours is definitely wrong.
Yeah, but
because because one half have got you down as doing Celtic's team talk for them, because you've written them off, as if they care what you say. And the other half actually think that it's reverse psychology, apparently. I'd no idea how that's going to work.
That's an old one that I say I think Rangers will win because I hope Celtic will win. I'm a 70-year-old man, James, by the way.
By the way, that Euler Yule is working wonders for you.
Anyway, let's bring in David in Port Glasgow and see what's on his mind. Hi, David.
How you doing, Gordon? All right, John? How you doing, Hugh?
Hi, David.
All good. What's on your mind?
He's all right, guys. No, just leading into the game, I was a wee bit worried at first, obviously, with the kind of call-off Celtic are having. But see, the more I think about it, chaps, I think El Hamed isn't normally, he's not a starter or first in the team sheet. Same as Beaton, he's not a first pick. The only one you could say really is Christie. We've just signed the boy Turnbull. He can come in, do a job, and we've got Rogic back.
Do you think either of them will go in, David? This is it's obviously a really fascinating area, because I think most people agree Christie would have played. Who replaces, who does replace him in your mind? Cham, Rogic, Turnbull?
I think we play three in the middle. It'll be Brown, I think, obviously McGregor. And personally, I would like to see Rogic if he's fit, but I don't think he will be fit, so I think you'll see him jam in there. Mm.
Well, I mean, he's fit, Jim, but he's not played a lot of football. Yeah. Who would be your bet
I think Cham will go in, you know, with what is exactly what David said there with Scott Brown and Callum McGregor. And then Cham in there with probably Elanusi off Edouard, if Edouard is okay. I mean, it's still to be decided. That, to me, could be the pivotal one. I agree with David in the sense that you bring Julian in the back three. Obviously, Frimpong and you know, depends on whether he starts with the new left back or whether he starts with Greg Taylor. But for me, if Odson Edouard isn't playing, Ajeti, is he fit?
Yeah, he's
talk
fit,
about
yeah.
Is he? How fit is he? So I think that would be the one for me, because he has given Rangers real problems in the past, and I think if he's out the team, that would give Rangers a real belief that they can go and win that match.
Yeah, Ajeti is fit for the clash. Edouard is being assessed after he only got back yesterday, didn't he? Or was it today? I think it was today.
Yeah,
I'm losing track of my days. After being assessed from his isolation period, David, is Edouard the type of player you throw straight in? He's been isolating for the last wee while. Maybe there were question marks over his form before that as well, but would you throw him in tomorrow?
As a manager, I would throw him in. He's got the quality to win a game for you, but as has Griffiths, Ayeti, even Klamala to an extent. But I've got it in good authority anyway, guys, that Edouard will play tomorrow.
An exclusive from David and Paul Glasgow.
Are you at liberty to name your source?
No, not at all. I wouldn't do that, but I've got it in good authority that it will will play tomorrow, he'll play a part.
David's second name's Edward.
See, if I had said no, I won't tell you who told me that, then what?
No, that's quite right. You know that.
I think you raised an interesting point, Gordon, that
I keep having this vision
of you almost forget who they played last, Celtic and Rangers, before the international break. But it was St Johnstone, of course, at Mendemmy Park, and Edward was taken off after an hour, and I think Neil Lennon looked at him as if to say,
"Give yourself a shake."
Aye, exactly. I just wonder what the last couple of weeks in isolation have done for him in that regard.
Been saying that, Hugh, the transfer window is now closed.
I know.
And I think that must have been something in the back of his mind there, that would he still be there? Was it a possible move going on? But that side has now been put to bed. So he now has to, he can only focus on Celtic because that's his only option at this moment.
If you say who's the best guy up front, it's Odson Edward. But it's Neil Lennon's call.
Do you fall into the line, Jim, of thinking, you know, big game players, is that something you would attach to Edouard and therefore you put him in?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you've asked me about a few of the games when Edouard's not played so well, and he has been substituted at the St Johnstone game, as you said, and taken him off, and he quite openly and quite rightly, Neil Lennon said, listen, it's his form, he's not been playing well enough, but he rarely plays poor against Rangers. And I think you do get clubs, and whether it's, you know, Gordon and other guys, strikers, they tend to find there are some teams that they enjoy playing against a little bit more. And although he's a terrific player and he has had a little bit of a dip, I think in this particular game, this is the type of game where you want your top players and you would rely on your top players, and he is a top player.
Jim, who would know the Celtic team at this time on a Friday night? How many people would know the team?
Oh no, a lot of people, if it's been picked, it might not have been picked. Yeah, if the manager has done it, but even if he's not actually literally stated it, he would normally have done set pieces, or he'd done, you know, he'd have had a chat with obviously the players. Again, a lot of them just coming back at the last minute, so they might not have done too much training or shape or any of these type of things. But I think that the players all have I think the players all know, and so therefore, if the players know, then there's a lot of other people know. Staff.
A player told David then. A player,
yeah, possibly.
Yep. You never know. Or third hand, it can happen. Right. David, you mentioned, and probably quite rightly, you know, Beaton and El Hamed would have been maybe unlikely to start the game, but they would almost certainly have been on the bench and would have been there to play a part. Given that James Forrest is already out, Frimpong will play the game. Does that give you any worries about the right side? Should Frimpong need a rest or need to come off or need replaced in any way?
No, not at all, Gordon. I think we've got enough players there in backup and reserve who can shuttle across. All you've got other guys you can bring in. You've got El Yanoussi who can play either on the right or the left or play in the number 10 role. So there's enough quality through the squad.
All right, David in Port Glasgow. He won't reveal his source, but if Edouard plays, it's David's shout. If he doesn't, we'll get David back on Monday night. Thank you to David in Port Glasgow. Let's go straight on and bring in William and Stevenson. Hi, William.
Hello, Gordon, Jim and Hugh.
Hi, William.
Right, how would you rate the confidence, William, out of 10? 10 being the most confident.
7.
Okay, right, that's not bad.
But my point is tonight, here's my take on it, Gordon, right? Up until this point, I think Rangers have been more battle-hardened. What I mean by that is, right, they've been away to Livingston, they've been away to Aberdeen, they've been away to Motherwell, they've been away to Hibs, and they've been two very, very tough games in Europe, which are level was very, very good. You know what I mean? Celtic's level, it's not been great. They're still winning, right? But they've not played to the level in the European tough European matches Rangers have had. Now, if Rangers can reduce that tomorrow, I think they've got a good chance. But my prediction's 1 each, by the way.
Oh.
But I think Rangers have got a good chance if they play to the level, especially in Holland. My God, that's a difficult place to go, and Galatasaray, Gordon.
Yeah, Hugh, this goes back to, and Jim, this debate we've been having for weeks now about points versus performances. Celtic are in the driving seat if you look at a points per game basis. They've got a game in hand.
Yeah.
But William and others wish to balance that up by saying, well, we think Rangers have had the better performances and the tougher fixtures so far.
An odd thing overcomes Rangers under Steven Gerrard. They go away for a fortnight and come back as somebody else. So this one has been forced upon them by the international break, and here they emerge from a very good opening to the season. William's absolutely correct that domestically and in Europe, Rangers have been very, very good. On the other hand, Celtic have won 8 games in a row. So how do they, both of them, emerge from this 2-week international break? I don't think you can. Christie is certainly very, very annoying for Neil Lennon. First time in history.
The absence of Christie. Yeah. Or Christie's annoying.
No, no. Right, the okay. absence of Christie's annoying. First time in history that a local health board has kept a player out of an Old Firm game. But it's how both of them emerge from that fortnight break. Whether, as Jim said, Edward comes back in a better frame of mind than he left. Whether Rangers can pick up where they left off. Unlike times gone by where they have a fortnight's break and come back and go on the slide. So again, I repeat, the only thing that's predictable about these games is the unpredictability of them, and we'll see how the 2-week break pans out.
God, I mean, I haven't looked you know, about the squads in terms of who was all away and who was at home. You know, I know obviously I can ring my few.
Yeah, just the obvious ones really.
Yeah, but in terms of balance, in terms of what it means, you know, for preparation, so did Rangers have slightly more players at home than Celtic had, etc. So people will look at that. They will look at these kind of, as they call it, the small margins that everybody keeps mentioning these days, to see whether that can make a difference. Whether they've rested or as opposed to travelling and playing two and three games.
I mean, Morelos got back last night, for instance.
Yeah, he came off the bench a couple of times, doesn't he?
Yep.
But, you know, it can impact. I mean, I think Callum McGregor played 2 games out of 3 for Scotland, etc. So, listen, there are situations that can impact it. When you've been away, as Hugh said, you come away for a couple of weeks and then you might just really look forward to this challenge. But I think we've also got to say it ourselves. You know, although we've been talking about it now and players will be used to it, playing an Old Firm game in an empty stadium has to have some sort of impact on the intensity of the game.
Hold that thought, because I think we're going to get round to that in a second, actually. But William, before we let you go, let me put you on the spot. Who is the man that you're hanging your hopes on tomorrow? Who's Rangers' biggest player tomorrow? And also, who's the player you fear the most in the opposition side?
Well, I'll say I've got 3, Gordon. That we'll get to Vernier, Arfield and Kent playing out their skin, right? But see that wee man, Frimpong? He's a danger.
Think so?
Celtic's biggest danger is that wee man. He's some player. No. But Rangers will get 3 playing out their skins at the moment. Kent, Arfield, Vernier. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I'd imagine all 4 of those will start, so it'll be interesting. Thank you to William and Stevenson. Jim just teed it up nicely. He's just rolled it across the 6-yard box. I'll tap it in and ask you, what impact do you think no fans will have on this fixture? Unfortunately, that's where we're at. So get all your theories, all your ideas, all your suggestions in. What impact will an empty stadium have on the fixture? We'll hear from the managers on that topic and hopefully your theories next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. If we've learned one thing this year, it's to listen to the experts.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. We are on the lines and on Twitter looking ahead to the big game tomorrow. We're asking you, what impact do you think an empty stadium will have? We've had a bit of a taste of this season as we get used to it in the Premiership, but this is obviously a fixture unlike the others in terms of the usual intensity and the numbers that would pack in and all the rest of it. So what impact do you think that will have on the game? We are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB, and I like this, Hugh. Never let it be said that you are not important in the Twitter sphere, because Ross McInnes is tweeting for the first ever time. He's never sent a tweet before, and it's his first ever tweet, and I'll say this, Shug backing Rangers helps me settle the nerves that my team Celtic will do the business tomorrow.
There.
So there we go. Ross could have tweeted about anything in the world in his first foray onto Twitter, but it was about you.
I am proud.
You should be.
I am honoured.
It's great. Let's hear from both managers on the subject of having no fans.
It'll be interesting, you know, without the support, without the energy. It'll be very interesting to see the intensity and the tempo of the game. I think, you know, both teams are capable of producing really good football. I think we are at home and, you know, it's important we, you know, consolidate our home form. And, you know, I think it'll be physical. You know, I think it'll be fast, just like any other derby. But I think it's sprinkled with a lot of quality players.
We're not really focused on there not being any fans there. We're focused on our game plan. We've still got a session to do this morning to get some information into the players. As you say, it's been a very unique preparation going into an Old Firm. Not much time on the training pitch and players arriving late. We want the players to go to Celtic Park with belief and confidence, but we certainly won't be going there overconfident just on the back of last year. we know it's going to be a very tough challenge, and we need to find a real top level performance if we've got any hopes of taking the 3 points from there.
Thomas is in Drumchapel. Let me ask Thomas, do you think the intensity will still be there without fans, Thomas?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on the call.
Pleasure.
Regarding the question, I don't think fans will have any mark to do with it at all.
No.
It's an Old Firm game. The players on that field know what they're getting into. They know what's at stake. And for me, I would like to think they'll get there knowing that if they don't perform, they'll get it at the end, either on social media or when they're seen in the streets, because you can't hide. The games actually can't hide. Fans there or not, it does not matter. They will need to turn up, put in a performance and go for it.
I mean, Thomas makes a good case. You wouldn't necessarily argue with it. It just, what, far be it from me to try and be an amateur psychologist, but is it not just human nature that 60,000 people bawling at you to do something gives you an extra 5%? I don't know.
Well, I would imagine so, but I've always thought that for Celtic, the most important man tomorrow is Scott Brown, and for Rangers, James Tavernier. Scott Brown, it's no longer important what he does with a ball at his feet. He is the natural leader of men at Celtic, and that was proved in the last game against St Johnstone when Neil Lennon tried four outfield substitutions and was still trailing St Johnstone. And then he put on, no, he wasn't drawing with St Johnstone. And then he brought on, with 8 minutes to go, his captain, the club captain. And he get everyone going for those last 8 minutes, and we all know that Lee Griffiths and Patrick Klamala scored. For me, Scott Brown will not let the intensity level drop, because he'll start tomorrow for sure. And Tavernier, who has scored 8 goals this season for Rangers, is now a better leader of men than he used to be. He was too easily intimidated in the past, but he's a better leader of men now, and also a big goal threat to Celtic, because he scored 8 times this season already. He has to be a threat. So they're the two most important men for me to drive the intensity.
And Jim, you know how frantic the start, I was going to say the start, sometimes it stays frantic for the full 90 plus minutes. Will it still happen? Can it still happen without that initial roar when the game kicks off?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I disagree with Thomas in terms of, it won't play a part. I think it has to play a part. I think it's completely unique to these players. These players are used to playing in front of 50, 60,000 people at home. You know, so in Celtic's case, 60,000 Celtic fans, you know, driving them on, creating atmosphere, adrenaline, tempo, intensity. Yeah. You know, they've got used to these games now without fans, and they're both playing very, very well, as I said, for the last majority of games. But I think in this particular game, these are the games that are different. That's the reason why they're such high-profile games. That's the reason why there's such a demand for them, all around the world to see, and people go on about it. They don't go on about it just because it's two teams against each other. It's because of the rivalry, the fans, the history, all these sort of things. And that is generated from the crowd, and that won't be there. So of course it will be a really competitive game, but the players will also know that, you know, they can't quite bite each other and snarl each other a wee bit, because you can pick all that up.
You
can hear it all. Whereas previously we know the noise that goes around the stadium, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I think there just has to just take a wee notch off the level for me.
Thomas, what else are you thinking ahead of tomorrow?
No, I understand why you think that. What I'm trying to say is, though, these are professional football players. They know what's at stake. You wouldn't like to think, however gets beat, they're going to use that as an excuse. The tempo wasn't there because the fans, etc, etc.
Yeah.
But to touch on what Hugh said, I do agree. The most important man for Celtic is Scott Brown. If he turns up, Celtic turn up. I'm no biased in saying as well, James Tavernier going forward is a threat. Defensively, there's questions there for me. I think that's why you play the new signing Laxalt up against him on the left side to press him back. Laxalt, when I watched him play for Genoa and for Uruguay, he plays better than a three at the back. He's a wing back, so I'm hoping he plays tomorrow. Greg Taylor, I'm not a fan of Greg Taylor, to be honest with you. Not that I'm saying he's a bad player, just know for this Old Firm game I'm having him in there, I think Tavernier would have him on toast if he was up against him.
Just since you brought it up, Thomas, hang on the line, and I'll give you Neil Lennon's thoughts on the possibility of playing Diego Laxalt, amongst other things.
Very easy on the eye, you know, he's a good mover, sort of glides across the pitch, got a lovely left foot. You know, technically very good defender, you know, in 1v1 situations, and his game intelligence is great. You know, it's it's probably difficult to make comparisons off the top of my head, you know, but I've been an admirer of his for a long time, you know, watched him at the World Cup. I thought he was superb. And to get him is brilliant business by us. And I think he's got a good mentality. His English isn't great, you know, so he's finding his feet with that. But he's a good footballer. And I have no hesitation in starting him, but we'll wait and see on, make a few decisions on that later on.
Is that one you can really see happening, Thomas? It would be quite the debut, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I think what Neil's saying as well, he sounds like he speaks really highly of him as well. And as I said, I've only watched him play for Genoa when he was there in Italy and for Uruguay. I know he's not had a good turn at AC Milan, but he don't become a bad player overnight. I'm hoping that tomorrow he turns up, gets a start, and he presses Tavernier back. So I think there is question to Bastard Tavernier out the back four for Rangers, and they do go with Tavernier, Goldson, Hillander and Barisic. To me, the target would be Tavernier. Although he's good going forward, there's question to be asked him in the wing-back area. So I would target him if I was the Celtic manager. That's what I would be saying.
Hugh, that would be a huge call. Can you see Diego Laxalt going straight in?
It would be a huge call. But
I mean, you sign players to play, I suppose. But
I mean, Henrik Larsson was doing nothing in Holland until he got here, and he didn't seem to do too badly.
Played at World Cups and stuff as well, didn't he?
But if he is easy on the eye, as Neil Lennon says, of Diego Laxalt, and glides across the pitch, all well and good. But you know, Thomas is talking about the intensity of the fixture. How quickly can Diego Laxalt pick up on that, not having been here long enough to understand fully what it's all about?
This is where the international break is. It is a really strange build up to the game, Jim, because he will have been training and he played in a bounce game against Motherwell last week. But for, well, until yesterday, that training will have been without Callum McGregor and Greg Taylor, who I suppose he would replace him, and anyone else who was away on international duty. You can rhyme them all off, El Yunusi and Ayer, and well, obviously Edouard hasn't been there. So does that go against the possibility of Laxalt starting?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I mean, again, if Neil Lennon was saying there, he's maybe more comfortable in a wing back position. He's on about his technique and his ability in the ball. Never mentioned defending. Never said then about defending. So I think defensively is he's least, you know, in terms of concern.
For what it's worth, I think in the extended version of that there was a comment about him defending, but I take your point.
But yeah, I think that he wants to push on, and at home, and the way Celtic want to play, if it's Frimpong and Laxalt on the other side, I think he will start Laxalt. And I think you throw him in at the deep end, the one thing you can be rest assured is he'll get used to Scottish football very quickly.
Thomas in Drumchapel, we thank you very much for your call. Hopefully you managed to enjoy the weekend. Either way, curious creatures, Hugh, this seems like a nice way to round off the first hour with a little bit of poetry. Will you take that? He says, the Old Firm madness comes to town, the game we love to see, the tension and the drama, but what will be, who'll be the first to hit the net, who'll fail and who'll succeed, but carnage on the phone-in, absolutely guaranteed. On that note,
better believe it.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, forget the game tomorrow. This is the big match of the weekend. It's the final Beat the Pundit Friday night. Your chance to win a signed ball, but only if you can get past Hugh Keevans or Jim Duffy. 0141 951 1025. Beat the Pundit is up after the news, and you could be playing if you get your call in before 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. For an unpredictable world, talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here as we build up to a huge weekend of domestic football. Actually starts tonight. It's the return of the Championship. Will Hearts be able to bounce back to the top flight at the first time of asking? It's been quite the summer over at Tynecastle Way. I'm sure they will feel aggrieved at what's gone on. That siege mentality perhaps kicks off tonight against Dundee at Tynecastle. So we'll keep an eye on that one between now and 8 o'clock. The lower leagues all back tomorrow. The Premiership returns as well after the international break. And of course, that is spearheaded by Celtic Rangers in the East End of Glasgow tomorrow lunchtime. Where else would you rather be? Somewhere safe though, I hope, is the answer to that. Let's take a breather and play Beat the Pundit before we get back to taking your calls.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Always time for Beat the Pundit. Let's bring in tonight's contestant. Kerr is a Rangers fan from Stranraer. How's it going, Kerr?
How are you getting on?
Are you more confident of winning Beat the Pundit or of Rangers getting a result tomorrow?
Rangers getting a result tomorrow.
Right, okay. I don't know if that says, I don't know what that says about you, if you just don't believe in yourself, or if you particularly think Steven Gerrard's men are going to do it. But we'll find out, because I'll toss the coin. If it's Hugh Keevans, you, if it's heads, sorry, he'll take on Hugh. And if it's tails, it'll be Jim Duffy. And it's heads, you're up against Hugh Keevans. You won't have any complaints about that, do you?
No bother.
Nah, no bother. It's easy for Kerr. This is a man, Kerr, 71 years of age. Where are you from again originally?
Partick.
And you went and got a pedicure this afternoon. Jim Duffy can barely look at you since you announced it earlier on.
It's just because the colour of his toenails just doesn't match. It's as simple as that. It's just, it just doesn't match the gear he's been.
I know you thought these were strange times, but talking about Hugh Keevan's toenails on a Friday night might just...
As I said, I didn't even want to contemplate it.
We've plunged to new depths.
You want intensity, don't you? I'm bringing intensity.
So you're a modern man.
Yeah, I'm a 21st century dude.
And you enjoyed it?
Oh yeah, lovely.
Will you go back again?
In January, yeah.
I can't believe it.
The lady told me to come back in January, so
BCS next.
Honestly. Oh, that's plenty. That's plenty. Right, I'm going to give Hugh some Clyde 2 to listen to. No. While he goes and looks at his toenails. Right, Kerr, 30 seconds on the clock. Head to head with Hugh, and you can pass. That's all you need to know. You ready?
Yep, let's go.
Let's do it. 30 seconds starts now. Who's the only Dutch player in the Celtic squad?
Pass.
Who does St Mirren face tomorrow?
Pass.
In what year did Real Madrid last win the Champions League?
2017.
What club did Rangers sign Conor Goldson from?
Wigan.
How many groups are there in the Betfred Cup?
5.
Who's the Italy manager?
Pass.
What's the third biggest stadium in the Scottish Premiership?
Pittodrie.
Which division are Falkirk in?
Championship.
Which country hosted Euro 2016?
France.
Okay, we rattled through them. Let's I don't think I've ever run out of questions before. I almost did. Let's bring back Hugh Keevans. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
All I'm going to tell you is that Kerr answered 9 questions. Now, he might have got them all wrong, but he answered 9 of them.
Taxi for Keevans.
Are you ready?
Okay.
30 seconds. Hugh Keevans and his pedicure start now. Who's the only Dutch player in the Celtic squad?
Frimpong.
Who does St Mirren face tomorrow?
Motherwell.
In what year did Real Madrid last win the Champions League?
2017.
Which club did Rangers sign Conor Goldson from?
Brighton.
How many groups are there in the Betfred Cup?
8.
Who is the Italy manager?
Pass.
What is the third biggest stadium in the Scottish Premiership?
Pittodrie.
Which division are Falkirk in?
League One.
Okay.
Good game, I think.
He bounced into the studio fresh from his new pedicure, Kerry. He was feeling confident. Do you think you've done enough to knock him off his perch?
I'm not sure. I should have got that
Conor
Goldson one right.
I know. See, Kerr took my advice on board. I said, if you don't know it, pass quickly, and we'll move on. He certainly passed quickly, because we don't usually get through 9 questions. Let's find out the damage. Kerr, the first one, the only Dutch player in the Celtic squad is Frimpong. I thought you were going to slip up there, but you pulled it out of the bag. 1-0. St Mirren face Motherwell tomorrow. 2-0 to Hugh. Incidentally, you both went 2017, but it was 2018.
Oh.
The last time Real Madrid won the Champions League. Yeah, an easy one for you. Your family are all Seagulls fans.
Yeah.
Brighton. Conor Goldson. You'll be kicking yourself at that, Kerry, you not?
As soon as I said it, I knew.
I know. 3-0 to Hugh Keevans. It goes 4-0 because there are 8 groups in the Betfred Cup. The Italy manager is
Roberto Mancini.
So none of you got it. It's 4-0 to Hugh. Luckily, we got off and running with Kerr on question 7. That might be the latest time we've ever had a first point on the board. I was nervous for you, Kerr. I hate it when somebody gets a 0. I feel sorry for them in the end. So you managed to avoid that. You got Pittodrie, but as did Hugh. So he's still a good bit in front. He also knew that Falkirk were in League One. But you, Kerr, knew that France hosted Euro 2016. Hugh didn't get that far. So it was a 2 for Kerr and a 1, 2, 3, 4. A 6 for Hugh Keevans. 6-2. Hardlines, Kerr?
That'll do. I mean, I got a 0 last time against Gordon DL.
Oh, he's been on and had a 0, right?
A 0 against Gordon DL.
We're going up in the world.
How
Kerr.
Did you manage that?
I had a good night, so I did.
And you had a bad one. Well, you got better. You got 2 tonight.
Yeah.
It just so happens that Hugh got 6. There we go. 6-2.
Anyway, his improvement from Kerr, so that's the most important.
Would you anticipate as high a scoring match at Celtic Park tomorrow, or is it going to be tense?
No, there will definitely not be 8 goals. I can give you my guarantee on that.
Whoa, Buzz can come back and haunt you.
Bold prediction.
I was there the last time there were 8 goals. 4-4 at Ibrox. What a game that was. Murdo McLeod made it 4-4. I was there as well, yeah.
There you go. That was
the interview with Noel Gallagher.
Oh, look at him, honestly.
Name dropping in it.
Used to hang out with Noel Gallagher. Now he spends Friday nights with you and I, Jim.
You interviewed Declan Gallagher, you think you're all right?
Exactly. Scotland's Declan Gallagher, I think you'll find.
I interviewed Charlie Gallagher, now I'm Noel Gallagher.
Mm. Right, now you're losing me.
Yeah,
right.
Now you're
01419511025. I suppose, Jim, this to follow on what we were talking about, the crowd, does that take any of the tension away?
I think it does. You know, again, as I said before, you know, you mentioned, you know, the...
Are the players still aware of what's at stake?
No, listen, it's an Old Firm match. Of course there's going to be tension there. They understand what is at stake, and, you know, everybody goes on about the bragging rights and all these sort of things and points, you know, that are huge and such a pivotal season for both clubs. But, yeah, I just cannot see this game. This game is all about the fans. You know, I didn't like the fact when they stopped... You know, the opposition fans getting, you know, so many thousand tickets. I thought that diminished it slightly. Yeah. But, you know, the fact that no fans is there. No, I mean, this game has been built for over a century on, you know, what it means to supporters. So, yeah, it will mean a lot. But the fact that there's not, you know, any fans there, I just don't see how it cannot have any impact on the game. Even... You know, in a normal game, you'll find it a bit of a you know, intensity drop at times. But in this particular game, I think it's definitely going to play a part.
Is this a coincidence? Producer Andy, Canadian Andy, is back on the show for the first time in a few months, and all of a sudden we've got Craig on the line also calling in from Canada. I'm sure it's a big place and they don't actually know each other, but let's bring in Craig and see what he's got to say for himself. Hi, Craig.
Hey, good afternoon, panel. How are you?
Not too bad at all. How are you?
Oh, mate, I'm living the dream. But let me clarify there. Look, I live in Canada, but I'm an Aussie.
I thought that, right? See, my accent identification's not great, but you don't sound like producer Andy. I knew that much, so that's fine. What are you over there working, Craig?
Oh, my parents are both from Glasgow. They moved from Glasgow to Australia. I live in Australia. I marry a Canadian and then move to Canada. So, you know, it's about just getting around the world. Mm.
But all eyes will be on Glasgow tomorrow. That's what you're telling us.
Well, I'll be following the Rangers and a Rangers win for certain.
Go on then, where's the confidence coming from?
Oh, look, honestly, look, this is the best squad, the best team we've had since we got kicked down the leagues back in 2012. So, and the fact that we're playing at Parkhead in front of none of their fans, I mean, unless you're Barry Ferguson who wants them inside your head so he can get inside theirs, look, I think it's the best chance there to win their... because of the fact that they won't have the 50,000 of their mob screaming and doing what they do. So, you know, be allowed to focus on playing the ball and not having to worry about anything going on in the stands.
That's interesting, Hugh, because we've been speaking generally before about, you know, intensity or tension for both sides. But Craig, as a Rangers fan, quite simply thinks that going there with no fans means Rangers have got a better chance of winning than they usually would. Is that the obvious bit that we've missed so far?
I don't quite understand Craig at the end where he said that, you know, they can go on with playing the ball, not worrying about anything in the stands. I mean, what are you worried about in the stands?
Well, it makes it hard because it makes it harder to sometimes express yourself if you've got... And I'm not saying that only affects Rangers, but you go to an away fixture, part of the thing you're usually battling is a hostile crowd.
Well, you know, Rangers have played very well since the season started. And when fans were inside the grounds, it was James Tavernier who said famously in the club programme that when other teams get inside Rangers' faces, they didn't respond well. And they have looked better without fans. So, you know, as I say, there are no wrong opinions on a Friday night, only on a Saturday night. So Craig's entitled to be as confident as he wishes to be. He used the word guarantee. I guarantee you that Rangers will win. No, you can't. No Celtic fan can guarantee that Celtic will win, and no Rangers fan can guarantee that Rangers will win.
Craig based his confidence, Jim, also on the fact that he believes it's the best Rangers squad in a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure Celtic fans would argue with that, because that's what it's been. This whole time has been about Rangers trying to close the gap. Can they close it in such a way as they win a trophy? We don't know. Time will tell. They haven't yet, but it clearly is the strongest side or thereabouts, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's been an ongoing process from Steven Gerrard. He has, you know, been back to the hilt from the board, you know, in terms of getting players in that he's wanted. I can't really think of many, if any, occasions where they've really targeted someone and it hasn't been, you know, done. So there's no excuses left from Rangers' point of view now in terms of Steven Gerrard. He has the squad that he wanted, and therefore he now has to deliver silverware. The number one target is, of course, the title, and that is, you know, can you know, a win tomorrow, you know, can be an important part of that. But as you said, it doesn't mean it's done and dusted. But it gives them belief and confidence. We heard Steven Gerrard's interview earlier on talking about belief, and belief is a big thing for players. There's no doubt, but they've still got to cross that line of getting silverware first and foremost. And Celtic, you know, have done it many times before, and on the odd occasion where they have been written off a little bit, they have turned in a top class performance. So, listen, you know, people ask, like you said, for me, I don't think it's a 49-51. I think it's 50-50. But if anything, I would still always edge Celtic at home.
Just surroundings, regardless, right? Okay.
Yeah, just because their record at home. Yeah, I know Rangers won last year, but the record at home is very, very good.
Craig, what about the, you know, we're talking about individual players perhaps, and who might have the biggest impact. Who are you sort of hanging your hopes on tomorrow?
Well, I think our midfield and our outside wingers are playing really well. I mean, Harfield, Davis, Kamara, Jack, they're all in form. Kent's probably the best player in Scotland right now. If Stevie G wants to play either Jordan Jones or Barker, I'd be happy with either one of those two. I'd actually prefer to see Jordan Jones. I think he'd be a bit more spark than Barker. I think our central defence, with Goldson, and you've got either Balogun or you've got Hollander, either one of those two there, they're solid. And then on the outside, Barisic and Tavernier, I reckon we're solid all the way through. I can't find a fault in anywhere on the park with Rangers. And I mean, if you're up front there, you've got choice there with Morelos. You can put Eaton. You could have Defoe. I can't find a fault with Rangers at the moment. And I think Celtic's scared. I think all their supporters are scared as well, and they should be.
Do you know them all personally, Craig? Are you able to?
No, but you know what? I don't want to either. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to know them. I'd prefer just to not know them.
Oh, all right. Okay.
It's funny how you can be born in Australia, live in Canada and be like that. I don't understand it, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, you can support your team, but I think that you respect the opposition. I think that both teams will do that as well tomorrow. I think there is a respect. We heard both managers saying that they have to put in a top-class performance. And the only the reason you can say your team has to play top-class is because you know the opposition is really good. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't have to play a top-class performance. You could have a mediocre performance and win. Celtic had a mediocre performance against St Johnstone a few weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, and won 2-0. So, listen, you know, both of these teams are playing with confidence. They're playing with belief. But ultimately, tomorrow is one where we just want to make sure that everyone behaves and, you know, plays the game properly.
Okay, thank you to Craig. Let's bring in Daniel, who's just a little bit west of Canada. He's in View Park tonight. Hi, Daniel.
Hiya, how you is?
I need to teach producer Andy about this part of the world, Daniel, because he has written on the screen for me to view. He says Daniel is calling in from View Park, two separate words, both with capital letters. I'll need to teach him. But anyway, carry on. What's your point?
I think everybody, obviously, other time, we seem to all look down about the fact that or the amount of players from maybe have missing, things like that. But I think actually could put it in your hands, because you look at a normal firm game, Steven Gerrard would look the day before the game and say, that's going to be the Celtic team, and he can set his team up accordingly. But Mystic Meg probably couldn't pick the Celtic team tomorrow.
So, right, so you think there's an element of unpredictability about it?
Yeah, I really think he could play in hand. Everybody's just going, oh, it's going to be a back three. But Julian's not kicked a ball in how long? So we don't know if Julian's going to play. I think the fact that we don't know, actually, we could spring a couple of surprises and really catch him out.
So Daniel, you be Meg then. What's your team for tomorrow?
Now you're asking. Well, back-assing goals. I would go to back three personally. I would definitely go back three. I would also start Laxall, give the boy a go. Frimpong, definitely. Brown, McGregor, pick yourself, obviously. I would go Turnbull, and I would go Ayeti as long as he's fit, and Edward has to start. Even if we get 60 minutes out of him, it's 6 minutes, probably two goals.
I'm interested in Daniel's shout for Ayeti, Jim, because we've not heard it yet, and I just wonder why, because we know what Lee Griffiths has done for Celtic many times, but he's obviously not, he's on, what was it, 15 minutes or something he played, and then he played the bounce game during during the break. Other people think because of habit, you know, El Yunusi might play off, but when Ayeti's been in that Celtic team, he's scored goals. Why are we not hearing more shouts for him to start the game?
I think just because he's been injured. You know, he had that little spell just there, out injured, and I think that sometimes, you know, fans, it just gets put to the back of your mind. And obviously the last game, you know, Griffiths made such an impact, you know, coming on, scoring that opening goal in the 91st minute or so. So I think that it's just one of those ones where he's fresh in your mind and the other players just push to the back of your mind a little bit. But I think that when you invest £5 million in a striker, you know, even at Celtic's level, I think that you're entitled to think that if he's fit and healthy, that pairing, you know, would be something that Neil Lennon would look at, you know, with Edward.
Another feature of this game, this historic game played in front of no fans, you can bring on five subs. Therefore, and Neil Lennon did it at McDermott Park, as I say, four of them were getting nowhere until he brought on the fifth, and the fifth changed everything. Hardly having a kick of the ball, but he changed things. Tomorrow he could have Ayeti, Klamala and Griffiths all on the bench, all able to come on. If he needs that kind of backup, if Celtic are badly needing a goal. So,
and it might be Defoe and Eaton on the other side. You're right, the five subs is something we've not mentioned yet. It changes, could play a big part.
Yeah, it changes the whole dynamic. It's never been known before, but a lot of things have never been known before, like NHS Lothian Health Board stopping a player from getting a game. So it changes the whole dynamic. You don't need to panic. You can get Griffiths on, or Klamala, or Ayeti, and as you say, Rangers can do the same with Eaton and Defoe.
Prediction time, Daniel. It's 20 past 7 the night before. We're getting close.
I'm going 3-1 Celtic.
Pretty confident is Daniel in View Park. Thanks very much. That was Daniel 01415. Who is rustling a sweetie paper in the studio? Which one of you? Keevan Slocum, honestly. Could you not just, I'm going to take the break in 30 seconds. What is that you've got there?
It's got love hearts.
Yeah, it's in a box called Swizzles.
Hold on a second. He said a pedicure and now he's eating love hearts in the studio. We're going to need to check in on this guy.
He showed me a wee sweetie on it and it says, kiss me.
You're supposed to take lots of sugar at my age.
Honestly, right. Thanks again to Daniel. I've got a full-time teaser coming up for you next. Good question. Guess the theme.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. More than a million paid in compensation every week.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are in the building waiting on your calls, reading your tweets as well. So get in touch with the guys and let them know how you're feeling ahead of the big game between Celtic and Rangers tomorrow. There are other big games. I know it sometimes doesn't seem like it in this part of the world, but it's great to have the Premiership back. And even better, just because we've waited so long for the return of the Championship, League One and League Two. Jim Duffy, that involves you. Has it been a long time coming? I know you've had a bit of a flavour because of the Betfred Cup.
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, you're mid-October and your season's just starting. So it's a strange one, and obviously it's a three-quarter season. So it's a difficult one because you can look at it two ways. You can look and think, well, okay, there's not as many games, so therefore it should give everyone a little bit more of an even chance, if you want to call it that. Or you could say, listen, if you don't go off to a good start, you know, you've not got as many games to catch up. So it just depends on, you know, how you look at it. But yeah, but I think everybody's keen to get it going. And you know, all managers and everybody, Gordon, you know yourself, whether you work in Radio Clyde or anything, we're all waiting on almost a phone call all the time to say, oh, somebody's been ill with COVID-19 and this player's missing and that player's got to isolate and so on and so forth. And it just seems to be half a dozen clubs every week. So touch wood, as I'm speaking to you just now, we haven't got any players missing for tomorrow.
There we go. And Hugh, it all kicks off tonight. Like I remember a couple of weeks ago on the show, a couple of months ago, there was some fairly humorous suggestions coming in about this new rivalry, this Hearts against Dundee. Oh, now we know it was born out of a serious situation, so I don't think I'm forgetting about that. But there was quite a lot of Or no love lost between Hearts and Dundee. Is it the spam folder derby? Call it what you want, but it's Hearts against Dundee to kick off the championship tonight. No fans, but a great fixture to get us up and running.
Oh yeah. See, Robbie Nielsen's already said that he thinks this is a better Hart squad than the one he left behind in 2015, which is a heck of a claim, because when he left Hearts to go to the MK Dons, they were second in the table in the Premiership. Now they're a championship club. I welcome Charlie Adam back to Scottish football. Terrific career he's had. He's home for emotional reasons, family reasons. And I hope he enjoys his season at Dundee.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the teams, the names that will jump out at you for playing in the Championship, quite incredible. Craig Gordon's in goal. Veterans of the top flight like Michael Smith, Jamie Walker, Ollie Lee, Liam Boyce is just back from, you know, scoring important goals for Northern Ireland. He's in there. Roberts, Irving, Stephen Kingsley, who's got Scotland caps and has played in the English Premier League. Craig Halkett captains the side. Popescu, who did ever so well at St Mirren, and Ginelli as well. And then even on the bench, when you dip on to the substitutes bench as well, Elliot Freer, formerly of Motherwell, Andy Halliday, who was in here the other night, Stephen Naismith, Craig Whiten, amongst
Craig
others.
Craig Whiten scored a hat trick during the
week. Yeah, so it's lots of strength there for Hearts, but I'm sure Dundee will fancy their chances as well. Jack Hamilton in goal. The likes of
Hearts goalkeeper, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Kerr, McGee, Forster, Dorans, McGowan, Ashcroft, Robertson, So, also formerly of Hearts, Marshall, and that man Charlie Adam as well. So good fixture to look forward to. Let me get you your teaser up and running. You've only got about half an hour to come up with the answers to this one, but I think you will nail it. This one's from Ryan in Blantyre. Ryan says, can you name 7 players who've been sent off in an Old Firm game since Rangers were promoted in 2016?
26 since 2016?
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan Kent?
No.
Jordan Jones?
Jordan Jones, of course.
Yes.
A late one. I think 2016. I think all these ones.
7 players have been sent off in an Old Firm game since Rangers were promoted.
Ryan Christie?
No.
I think
Jordan Jones is the one. It came up earlier, did it? Challenge on Moritz Bauer.
Yeah, last one. Give us a minute or two, we'll get them.
That's fine. It should be easy. I'll give you about half an hour.
Yeah.
Right, let's bring in Mark in Hamilton. Hi Mark, what are you thinking ahead of tomorrow?
Hi Gordon, Hugh, and how are you doing?
All good.
Hiya.
Gordon, I've got a couple of wee points. A young lad at left back, the kid Taylor, I wouldn't play, can't play the lad tomorrow. I think if you play him at either wing back and left back, he'll get destroyed tomorrow. I really think we've got to play the new chap right from the start. Got to throw him right in there straight away.
This is the same Greg Taylor that just kept a clean sheet for Scotland the other night.
I watched it, Gordon. Fair enough, as I say, but no, I really fear for the lad tomorrow. If Neil puts him in there tomorrow too, I could...
What's your concern? What's your concern about Greg Taylor?
Well, my opinion, Jim, is that he's just too small. He could never win a ball in the air, and he can't get past a player, and he can't tackle. He's no good. I mean, no disrespect to the lad at all. Spoke about the kid before, but he just doesn't bring any to the table for Celtic.
I like that no disrespect at the end, just to be disclaimer.
Just to say that he can't tackle, he can't pass the man, he can't head it.
Listen, Mark, it is all about opinions. There's no problem with that. We hear it semi often on here, especially, you know, if Celtic are playing that formation, if he's a wing back, the expectation to then go buy a man and deliver something that maybe isn't something that's been in his game. But I've not heard too many people worried about his one on one defending going the other way.
It's not come up against anything, Gordon. As I say, how I see it, I just feel the more he is going to come up against guys that can play football, the more.
I've rarely known a player that Celtic spent a couple of million pounds on who has come in for the kind of criticism that Greg Taylor gets.
Oh, there will be a few, don't worry about that.
Oh, but
Ball and Golly cost 3. Yeah. And he got a fair bit of stick.
Yeah, but. It's
what happened to him?
It's constant with Greg Taylor. And remember, he was also part of a Kilmarnock defence that Celtic and Rangers hated playing against when Stevie Clark was the manager there. So, you know, you cannot say no disrespect, but he brings nothing to the table. That is the most disrespectful comment you can make.
Opinions, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? I mean, you've got an opinion, I've got an opinion. I'll say if the lad plays tomorrow, I fear the worst for him.
Well, I think there's more chance of him playing than Diego Laxalt, but then I can sometimes get things wrong.
Well, listen, I'm the exact same, of course. And listen, if he does play, I wish him all the best and I hope the lad does well, but I just fear that I think he could come up against it tomorrow. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was at, I think it was a Hibs game a few weeks ago, and I think Greg Taylor did get in behind and did set up, you know, opportunities and get goals and stuff like that, or help Celtic set up. And the way Celtic play, he's not going to go and head the ball. Neither is Frimpong, for that matter. You know, they've got three big giant centre backs who go and dominate that sort of side of it. They're there for their width, their pace, their energy up and down the pitch, stretching defences. And at Celtic Park, they're right out there. And you know, for me, whether, as I said, I think Lax will probably will play, but I think that if Greg Taylor does play, he plays on merit, because Neil Lennon obviously trusts him, believes that he can add to the game. And you know, I don't think there'll be any issue with him defensively or going forward. I think he links up the play well. I think he's not let Celtic down, really. So I'm a wee bit surprised that he's getting it quite as tight. I think every player has elements of their game they can improve upon, or they would like to be a wee bit better on. But I don't think Greg Taylor's, you know, as poor as Matt's suggesting.
Well, just need to wait and see. Obviously, yeah. The game's tomorrow, mate. We'll see what happens. But as I say, I hope if he plays, he hit a great game. But that's just my opinion on him. I just don't see it.
Mark, what about the importance of the game? We gave you that stat earlier in the 15 seasons that Rangers and Celtic and Rangers have both shared the top flight since the turn of the century. 11 of those 15 league winners have come from the side that won the first Old Firm game. Does it go down as a marker for you, or is it not so important?
I want to win the four of them, Gordon.
I know.
I've worked in two at Park End, so it does go down as a marker. But the game in hand as well, it's massive. All the games are massive, but especially these games. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for Celtic to win at home tomorrow, but it's not going to be easy. But of course.
I mean, I get that. It's a 38 game season, or hopefully it's a 38 game season. We don't need to go down that road again.
Yeah.
You can win it in all manner of ways. You can have a big lead and keep it. You can come back. But just with the way it's poised at the moment, there's a lot of belief about Rangers because they're confident from the performance levels. With Celtic only being one behind and having that game in hand, would a Celtic victory strike a particular psychological blow?
It would, because it would, first of all, fans would refer to the 2 week break. Rangers go away buoyant, confident, and a fortnight later come back as somebody else. We've seen it happen so often under Steven Gerrard. And you know, if you were to go in front of Rangers and have the game in hand, it would see the old problems resurface, all the old doubts resurface among the Rangers supporters and the Celtic supporters, who would say, they keep on falling by the wayside. So, yeah, of course it's important, but on October 17, I cannot believe that the outcome of that match will determine who is champion come May 17.
All right, thank you to Mark in Hamilton. Let's check in on that teaser quickly. We're looking for seven players who have been sent off in an Old Firm game since Rangers were promoted.
Jeremy Frimpong.
Yes, I wondered if you would forget that one.
And Simunovic was sent off at Ibrox.
Yes, you've got Frimpong, Jones and Simunovic.
Was Morelos sent off?
Twice, yep. All right, we'll leave it there because you've only got three to get and you've got the entirety of the rest of the show, so you'll be absolutely fine. Let's bring in Brian, who is a Rangers fan in Bishop Briggs. Hi, Brian.
Hiya, how's doing, guys?
Yep, all good, Brian. What's your main thought process at the moment then? Do you go through a roller coaster? Are you confident? Have the nerves kicked in? How's it going to work between now and tomorrow?
Oh, I think, to be honest with you, I'll be one of many Rangers fans that won't get much sleep tonight. And I'm sure, obviously, Celtic fans will be the same. I was just calling, guys, to bring up just a wee thing that I heard earlier on when I was listening. I think it was a caller near the start of the show, and he was talking about Jordan Jones and how we'd love to see him start. I would just like to phone him, maybe to 100% back him up on that. I think that Jones would be a great start for tomorrow. And then you get the caller immediately after who brought up the point where he's only had one goal and stuff. fair enough, right? I agreed with him there. We shouldn't get too excited about his goal scoring as of yet. However, I think that what the other caller was trying to bring up is his pace. And I think that, especially Celtic's new left-back, I think he brought up a great point as well by saying that when you're new to a club as big as Celtic and you're flung in at the deep end in an Old Firm derby, I think if you get somebody like Jones's pace, it can be a bit daunting.
I think if Neil Lennon's looked at Diego Laxalt at Lennox Town every day, he'll be very well aware of what pace he possesses. And if he thought that Laxalt would struggle against Jordan Jones, and he has to be alive to the possibility of Jordan Jones playing, then he wouldn't put him into the team. But the manager will have seen enough of Laxalt to know whether he should or should not start.
What do you think, Jim? Because the team that most people, not everyone, expects is sort of going on players who have been important for Rangers and players in current form. So people are saying, well, you know, Jack usually plays and Kamara plays and Davis plays, and you can't leave Arfield out because of the way he's played. If it was to be a Barker or a Jones, would that make it more of a sort of European lineup? You know, we've seen Steven Gerrard do that in Europe, because this is different from any other domestic test you get. Might it be a chance to replicate that sort of game where you have a bit more
counter attack with pace? Yeah, I mean, listen, possibly, but he's also in the past, you know, brought that extra midfield player in, if you want to call it that, like Arfield on the right, and narrowed them in a little bit. Kent getting a free role really alongside Morelos with the other three midfield players, you know, try to dominate the game. Hugh made a very good point earlier in terms of the substitutes. So you could have Barker, you could have Jones. You know, you've got two out and out wingers. If it's not going your
totally
way,
totally change things.
You can throw him in. Although Barker's been a little bit different than his positional play when he's come in. I don't believe that Jones would start. I'd be surprised. I don't think he's done enough to merit it in his Rangers time. I know he had a very good game against Motherwell, but didn't do so well the next game. I would just be surprised if he started. I'm not saying he couldn't make an impact the last half hour or so, but I'd be really surprised if Jordan Jones starts.
Brian, how things change. An hour and 40 minutes into the show, we've not really discussed Alfredo Morelos in any way, shape or form. He used to be the first name that would jump out for various reasons. Does he definitely play tomorrow, Brian? And how confident are you that he can break his duck against Celtic?
I think definitely he'll start tomorrow. In regards to whether he'll score tomorrow or whatever, I mean, it's just one of the things I just don't know. I mean, I know that Rangers have got plenty of players that will be on that park that can score a goal other than Morelos, because they've proved that in the past with Kent, Katic. I mean, but I would love to see him score tomorrow, as would so many other people as I know. But I think definitely he starts tomorrow. Yeah, just need to kind of wait and see how he plays on the day. I know previously he's not really took his chances well, especially in Old Firm games. But I don't know. I really just don't know.
Jim, any debate about whether he starts or not?
No, Morelos, no. I think if he comes back fit, well, refreshed, then yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I think again, although he didn't score the last time, that you know, he has given Celtic a lot of problem, but he does need to get that goal. I think you can almost see the tension in him. You know, the longer the games go against Celtic, and people can say, yeah, listen, if he scores 30 goals over the season and Rangers win the league, they won't care. Yeah, if that happens, but there's an awful lot of games to go, and each Old Firm game that comes up, if he doesn't score, then it keeps getting mentioned, and it'll get mentioned even more, and people will emphasise it. So I think that he's got to be relaxed, he's got to be calm, and I think that when he is relaxed and calm, there's no doubt he's the most, you know, he's the best striker at Rangers' disposal.
All right, Brian and Bishop Briggs, thanks a lot for getting in touch tonight. Pleasure to speak to you. We're on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. Great response to this teaser. Mikey is on, TJ and EK is on, DWT is throwing some good answers in there as well, and even Ross McInnes, Hugh, his second ever tweet is to give some answers for the full time teaser. I think he might even have them all. Seven players have been sent off in an Old Firm game since Rangers were promoted: Simunovic, Morelos, Jones, Frimpong.
Is he's a Gary one?
No.
Right.
Three to get. We'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. If we've learned one thing this year, it's to listen to the experts.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which means the big kickoff is getting even closer. Yes, the teams are out on the pitch at Tynecastle. Hugh, Hearts against Dundee.
Yeah,
that's, well, that's what you all were looking forward to, is it not?
No, I'm just thinking of all the previous callers who were not going to sleep well tonight.
Well,
just,
you won't sleep well either.
You getting me on?
Yeah, that's just because you got up during the night for a pee.
This fixture still excites you after all these years. I can see it in your eyes.
60 years ago I watched my first one. 60 years ago. Jeez. And here we are tomorrow. Historically, no fans. Historically, five subs. Historically, still can't stand the sight of each other.
And, yeah. And a player not picked because
NHS Lothian.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel you're picking on them specifically. These are the rules. I don't know if everyone will like them here.
No, as I say,
there will be a glaring frustration for various people tomorrow if Kieran Tierney lines up for Arsenal, because they're supposed to be in the same situation, but they take a slightly different view of things down the road. So
the other thing is, Gordon, we do have other matches on tomorrow, and I think that's important to say. I think
Mirren,
I think, was it six defeats in a row,
and they have their own troubles to seek with regards to coronavirus. Exactly,
another three people missing.
Well, St Mirren manager Jim Goodwin's praising his players for the way that they've handled their latest coronavirus disruption. They have had a real tough time of it. Two players tested positive this week, a third self-isolating as a precaution. They'll all miss the game against Motherwell tomorrow, and Goodwin says his players will have to step up to the challenge once more.
Two out of the three players are big players for us, and have had made a difference in recent weeks. It's going to be a blow to lose them, but look, we just have to deal with it as best we can, shuffle the pack again a little bit, and hope that we get the positive reaction that we want, and the players have been great. I've got to give great credit to the squad as a whole and to the staff, because it is very unsettling when a couple of your teammates test positive, because then you start worrying about your own situation as well, because we all know that the virus can incubate up to maybe 10-12 days. So it is an anxious time for everybody, but in fairness to the players, they've dealt with it great up to now, and they'll continue to do so.
And in the other dugout, Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson says confidence is growing at the club after his players performed well on the international stage. Declan Gallagher and Stephen O'Donnell played all of Scotland's games. Trevor Carson made his first Northern Ireland start in 2 years. Barry Maguire and Alan Campbell both featured for Scotland under-21s. Stephen Robinson says it makes him proud.
To have that many people involved at international level, senior international level and under-21 level is very good. You know, we get feedback, and the feedback is either a credit to the football club, they're a credit to the staff, but most importantly a credit to themselves. So they've got what they've deserved, and if you've played well and you've earned that right to be in the international setup, then they've certainly gone and taken it. The three boys in the senior setup, Trevor and Decky and Stephen, and then the under 21 boys, so delighted for both countries, Scotland and Northern Ireland. One game from the Euros, so hopefully be lots of positivity in the press. They certainly come back, you're training with top quality players, they come back full of confidence. I think that's the biggest thing. They don't really change as players, but they come back full of confidence. Declan and Stephen have come back and obviously buzzing. Trevor is his first international game since he was ill. We're very, very proud of him and how he's conducted himself, and even football's a strange game, he wasn't starting and then he starts, and how quickly things turn around. So for all of them, Barry Maguire goes with the 21s and does very well. PJ gets his first call up as well. We've got players going in the right direction, and as a club you hope to take advantage of that as well in terms of their confidence.
We've got our first goal of the new championship season, and it's Michael Smith for Hearts. Early doors in that one, just 4 or 5 minutes on the clock. Ball breaks to him in the box, shifts it onto his left foot and buries it low beyond Jack Hamilton to make it Hearts 1, Dundee 0. Michael Smith, Northern Ireland international. Speaking of international football there, Jim, was Stephen Robinson. Can that happen? I mean, Declan Gallagher and Stephen O'Donnell must be on cloud nine after their contribution to Scotland. Can that boost them and also rub off on other players?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people talking about they're not doing well for Motherwell, and they're surprised that they're in the squad, but they've went in there, had two great results. I mean, obviously three in general, but those two playing too, so the you know, that will definitely help them and helps other players as well. You know, I think that, you know, there's any player that goes in, and I'm a big admirer of the boy Alan Campbell as well. I think he's a terrific player and a real high energy player. Another one I think it will be on the radar of a lot of clubs, similar to David Turnbull. And I think you've got to give credit to Motherwell. They're getting a really good balance between bringing players in from lower leagues and stuff like that in England and developing some of the talented players in Scotland.
Because to then bring Andy Considine into that mix, for instance, Hugh, there must be a real belief there then for other players in our Scottish Premiership that even if you're not at one of the big two and even if you're not in the English Premier League, if you do your job and you do it well, you never know. You might get to get and shine on that stage.
Well, Stevie Clark has issued the call to arms, the rallying cry. Don't think that you're out of it. You know, Andy Considine, the oldest player to make his international debut in 53 years for Scotland. I just think that it's been a terrific boost for every player in the country eligible to play for Stevie Clark. Don't give up hope. By the same token, poor old Jim Goodman, if it wasn't for bad luck, he'd have no luck at all. And he did a great piece this morning in one of the newspapers where he said, you know, there is no bubble. It really doesn't exist, because he's got players coming out of the biosecure bubble and going home. And the problem is the virus is in the air and it's everywhere. So you can talk about biosecure bubbles, but they don't work 100%, no matter the money it costs, and it's costing plenty.
Yeah, I wonder, I think that terminology has maybe confused some people, Jim, or, you know, led them to believe that it's a bit stricter than it is. When they go to the club, that's the way it works. But players are families and they go home, and those families aren't self-isolating, and the kids are at school and the wife might be at work, and I'm not blaming anyone's wife for giving them coronavirus before anyone gets me in bother, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can go shopping or any sort of things. I mean, there's a multitude of things. You know, we see it all over the world. There's Ronaldo got it, you know what I mean? So, you know, the top players in the world can have it. It's just one of those things. It's indiscriminate. It can affect anyone, and that's the reason why, you know, even the First Minister is on continuously saying, like, don't go into other people's houses, like tomorrow with the Old Firm game. So, you know, everyone's got to behave and everyone's got to respect this virus. But from football club's perspective, preparation is a nightmare, because you just don't know when it's going to affect your club. And St Mirren have been affected, but they have to start getting results, Gordon, because six losses on the bounce, you know, you can't keep looking at reasons. You've got to try and change it.
That's as much of a lecture as you'll get from us tonight, because I think it's tough times. It is really tough for everyone. We totally appreciate that. Football's just not how we know it. But please just try and do what you can tomorrow, over the weekend. Let's everyone try and behave, try and act appropriately, because then hopefully if we do that, we get back to a situation where we get fans and grounds and we don't have to worry about where you're going to watch it and whether it's going to be free to air and all the rest of it. So, like I say, you don't need a lecture from us, but a polite request, I think. That's all we'll do on a Friday night. Quickly, Hugh, because we need to get the answers to the teaser. St Mirren Mullow is a cracker for us, local fixture. But you look through the card, Dundee United, Aberdeen, that old rivalry.
Well, yeah, christened the new firm in the days of Sir Alex Ferguson and Jim McLean. But it's Dundee United back in the top flight against a resurgent Aberdeen side. And Mickey Mellon at Dundee United could do with a result, because they've started to go pear-shaped.
Yeah, some great fixtures tomorrow. Hamilton Accies, St Johnstone, Livy Kilmarnock and Ross County Hibs in the top flight. Don't forget, the lower leagues are back. We've waited for a full card of action across the four divisions, and we've pretty much got it tomorrow. Hearts are already a goal up on Dundee, thanks to Michael Smith. But four other championship games tomorrow, full card in League 1 and a full card in League 2 as well. We cannot wait. So join us at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Hold on, no. Join us at midday tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll be well into it by 2 o'clock.
By 2 o'clock it'll be Martha and the Vandellas. They'll be dancing in the streets.
Right, what about tonight's teaser then? You've got a couple more, I think, to go. We're looking for 7 players who've been sent off in an Old Firm game since Rangers were promoted. You've got Simunovic, Morelos, Jones and Frimpong.
Philip Senderos.
Yes, you remember that game well, I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that a player who's Humble. Not playing tonight, because I think that, you know, it just shows you the strength of Hearts squad, with guys like Stephen Naismith and Andy Halliday, I think, get sent off after the last final whistle,
season,
possibly.
Yep, he was a fitness doubt for tonight, so he's made it onto the bench, which means you've got one more to get. Ex-Rangers. Well, when I say ex-Rangers...
I don't know about that eyebrow, that Carlo Ancelotti eyebrow you've got there.
Well, he is and he isn't.
So he can still be in the backroom staff.
No.
All right. Okay. Now you're just confusing us.
He's not going to play for Rangers again. He's currently on loan.
All right. Okay. Greg. No, it's not Greg Dong. Let me think.
But it's going to become a permanent move. It's not Jamie Murphy. It's the other one.
Yeah, I can't get it.
Him and his brother were both in the Scotland squad.
Oh, Ross McCrory.
There we go. Thank you to Jim and Hugh. That's it. The pre-match talking is pretty much done. Some of you will have sleepless nights. Try your best. Behave yourselves tomorrow. We will be back at midday. Celtic against Rangers and all the rest of the day's action. You really don't want to miss it. We'll see you then. GBX Friday's up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. For an unpredictable world, talk to Thompson's.com.